It's Thursday, October 9th, 2014, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 83. Oh, Daisy! Runtime for this episode is 50 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that has rescued zero princesses. My name is Jeremy.
Tyler Tift here, and I've got a fantastic new product for you, Super Balls.
That's not really a new product. That's been around since like the 1970s.
Maybe you can't rescue a princess, but with new Super Balls, you sure can woo one. Just bounce them up and down, and she'll be amazed.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. It's like a yo-yo.
Wondering what I'm doing here. My name is Zach.
You just need to have more fun. Like girls.
They just want to have fun.
Canonical.
Well, for the 80s, anyway.
In the 90s, they just wanted sweet Pokemans.
Well, I mean,
and
yeah.
And to be Sailor Scouts.
Who didn't?
And princesses. Even though, as far as I can tell, Belle isn't a princess. I guess Jasmine and Ariel both are princesses. Those are the 90s.
Belle? Oh!
Beauty and the
That's
Beast.
Right, yes. It took me a while
Does
to realize
Does she get reclassified one after the Beast thing?
No, he's like a duke, so she becomes like a duchess. So, assuming they actually get married. I don't know that they ever actually get married.
I mean, I assume eventually.
Probably.
I think it's implied.
That was the thing to do in the 1500s in Germany. So,
be cursed and then get married?
Actually, wait, no, they had books, so probably like the
1700s. Yeah, Belle liked reading. She was weird because of that. And Gaston was like, why do you like reading when you could be looking at my muscles?
Or the boar's head I have mounted on the wall. No one podcasts like Gaston.
Oh, my God.
No one enunciates like Gaston.
I wonder how much damage one of those bottles would do.
Probably not, quite a bit.
Those bottles can't damage Gaston.
One of those is pewter-lined, so I would imagine a lot.
But not enough to take on Gaston. He fought Beast.
That is true.
And I think he had a gun, though. It's been a long time since
I think he had a gun, then he lost his gun. I think he actually went after him with a knife. Yeah, Gaston totally had a gun at one point.
I thought it was a crossbow.
No, maybe he totally has a muzzle loader, yeah, I'm pretty sure. Like, I think he has a blunderbuss at
some
point.
Yeah, that's my memory, too.
Well, we can all agree that he's especially good at expectorating.
What have you been playing, Captain Verbs?
The games! Oh, lots of Professor Layton in the Azran Legacy. I think I'm about finished with it. I'm at about 120-ish puzzles, which is where they tend to peter out.
Have you found the old man who is actually behind it?
No, I haven't, actually. Oh, is that the continued plot of Turbo?
No. I was more making a Scooby-Doo reference since Professor Layton models the storylines from Scooby-Doo.
Does it?
Like, it seems supernatural, like something weird is going on, but through logic and deductive reasoning.
I forgot about that. That doesn't happen in the last three games, which were actually prequels to the first three games.
I thought there was one about a time travel village that really had no time travel.
No, that was the third game, which was still part of the first trilogy. Then the second trilogy is just the professor solving crimes, mostly.
For Phoenix Wright, so he can just do his jury work.
I'm so excited to play that game.
I heard it's really good.
But no, sadly, I haven't played any Phoenix Wright, which is very sad. I've been playing a lot of FTL again, actually.
Oh, that's fine.
I seem to have abandoned Payday for a while in favor of FTL, so it's mostly been that. I'm, like, at the final boss of Grandia. One of these days, I'll beat that game. I just don't play it very regularly. Like, I always want to play it, and I'm like, I could play Grandia, or, hey, look, a Flash game. Of course, Flash games these days are instead just FTL.
What sort of giant space flea is the final boss of Grandia? Is it like Gygus, or?
No, it's actually exactly what I expected it to be. It's not a giant space flea, so.
You haven't gotten to the real final boss yet.
Well, I mean,
after you beat Jekt, you're going to have to fight Yu Yevon, who's like a squid jellyfish thing.
I feel like the final boss of this will have a form that resembles a horrible space monster, but we already knew he was corrupted, so I'm pretty sure he's the final boss. Also, God is dead. So.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, no, it turns out, well, I mean,
are you going to be the new god? Oh, did there come a day when the old gods died?
Yeah.
You're playing Ragnarok?
It already happened, actually. The old gods are already dead, but everyone thinks they're still alive, so.
But the new gods haven't shown up yet?
No, I don't know that there are going to be new gods. Or
if
there are,
new gods.
We're going to be the new gods, so.
Yeah, so you're
going
to be Darkseid and Orion?
you're clearly the highest level characters in the world since you're taking on the biggest badass in the game. So clearly you're going to be the new gods.
Yeah, and I've got a fully maxed out Tenseiken Slash, so, I mean, he can't do anything.
See, you have to, in the show notes, put the first page of Jack Kirby's New Gods.
I haven't ever actually read it. I just know of it.
Like the first page is worth reading. The whole thing is worth reading. But it's Jack Kirby. He got kicked off Thor because Marvel didn't want to pay him anymore because he was cantankerous and wanted health insurance like some sort of fiend. So he went to Marvel and he's like, okay, I'm going to write the story where Ragnarok happened and there are new gods and they fight in space with spaceships.
And Death rides skis.
Yeah.
Which is actually pretty cool.
And the Satan figure is literally named Darkseid.
It's worked pretty well, so.
Oh, man. No, Jack Kirby's new gods are amazing. But Jack Kirby was almost as unsubtle as Stan Lee. You know how the Silver Surfer came about?
I do not.
Okay, do you know what Marvel Method is for making comics?
No.
Okay, so Marvel Method is the writer does a basic plot outline.
Okay.
Then the artist draws everything, and then the writer puts in all the actual dialogue.
Okay, so they do like a storyboard at first, and then...
Yeah.
Okay.
Jack Kirby just drew in the Silver Surfer. He wasn't in the plot.
What, he just always just like walked in, drew him into one of the storyboards, and
no,
everyone...
They weren't actually storyboards. The writer would like write something basic up, then give it to the artist. Jack Kirby was the artist on Fantastic Four, so he just drew in this silver guy on a surfboard and a couple of the panels who wasn't supposed to be there, and Stan Lee had to tell a story about him.
And it worked.
Although, those are some of the best comics in the Stan-Jack alliance.
Stan Lee also came up with the X-Men because he was too busy coming up with...
I know that.
He was tired of coming up with character origin stories.
So it's like, fuck it, they're mutants.
Also, Jack Kirby's Stan Lee X-Men is probably the worst thing Stan and Jack did together.
I feel like that should be a skit comedy show.
Stan and Jack?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, the rumor is the final straw that got Jack Kirby fired was he was drunk at a party, and someone told him, like, tried to get him to draw Dr. Doom without his mask on, and eventually he conceded and just drew Stan Lee in the Dr. Doom armor.
Boy, and that got him fired?
Well, that was, like, the final straw. It was mostly the wanting health insurance and a raise thing, completely unreasonable for one of the greatest creators of our time.
Well, yeah, I mean, why would you give him health insurance or a raise?
So I went to DC and made the New Gods and the Devil Planet that Superman fought. And Moon Boy and Devil Dinosaur. Support Jack Kirby, dudes. Look him up.
Is he still alive?
No, he's dead.
Okay.
He would probably be cameoing in all the Marvel movies now if he was alive. In fact, he probably is less known just because he died before the movies came out, which is sad.
So he'd be doing the same thing Stan Lee is and cameoing in the Marvel movies?
Stan Lee very much did not care about health insurance or a raise. Marvel gave him a lot of rewards and put him in the public eye. So maybe not. Stan Lee and Marvel did not have a strong relationship at the end, but a lot of people say Stan Lee is overrated because Jack Kirby gets no credit, and it's really not that Stan Lee is overrated, it's just that Kirby should be at least as highly rated and
Kirby's not underrated.
Yeah. So, you know, Jack Kirby, guys, he's great. It's not like Bill Finger and Bob Kane, where Bob Kane is a villain that should be punched in the face and everyone should worship Bill Finger.
Or Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs.
Bob Kane is far worse than Steve Jobs.
I'm confused. What?
I don't know who those...
I have no idea who they are.
Yeah. Bob Kane created Batman, in air quotes. He drew a guy who looked like Leonardo da Vinci in a glider who wore red. And was like, I have this character idea for this Batman character. And Bill Finger's like, okay, we should make him look like a bat. We should have him wear black. We should make him a millionaire who fights crime because his parents died in an alley. He should fight like a clown and a woman who dresses like a cat and have a sidekick named Robin and have a Batmobile and talk to this guy named Commissioner Gordon. And Bob Kane, lied about his age, faked his birth certificate, and said he was only 17 when he created it. So he got sole rights to the character for DC.
Wow.
And DC is legally obligated to refer to him as the creator of Batman anywhere Batman appears and is not allowed to credit anyone else.
Wow. That's obscenely specific as a court order.
They settled out of court because he had them by the balls.
Is that what he sued them for?
Yeah.
Is specifically that?
Well, no, they settled out of court. Like I said, and that's the agreement that was drawn up. But
well, then.
Bill Finger is great. He created everything you love about Batman. Bob Kane is a villain.
Who gets all the credit for all the...
Who also claimed to have slept with Marilyn Monroe.
Well, I guess, yeah, Batman is from the 50s, huh?
Yeah, and everyone would be like, shut up, Bob, we know you didn't. And at one point, some other creator punched him, and it was the greatest thing ever. But I can't remember which one that was. Anyway, Comics. Jack Kirby's great. Bill Finger is cool. Bob Kane is a villain. Stan Lee is okay.
Anyway, what have you been playing, Zach?
What have I been playing?
Yeah.
Well, since I'm me, I've been playing some Payday. Not as much since my heist squad has been MIA for the last couple of days.
Sorry, I've been watching Doctor Who.
Still playing Dragon Age. I realized I royally screwed up my rogue really early on, so I reset.
Also, you were playing a rogue.
That too.
It's Dragon Mage Origins for a reason.
No, it's not. I play a warrior. Screw you.
Just look at the warrior skill tree. How many options do you have?
I have more than enough.
How many options does the mage have?
I know they have one that just fills a room with lightning. Which
mages, to me, aren't fun.
Well, that's fine. Your playstyle is whatever you want it to be. The game creators clearly favored mage. They clearly spent the most time designing one. Mage is the only class that gets its own special origin. They have more than double either of the other classes' abilities. And they're much easier to break. Although the game in general is not that hard to break.
Did they continue that with later entries in that series?
My understanding is no, but well, that's, I also
didn't not out
for
yet.
Later entries.
So later entry.
Yes, and they streamlined combat a lot and made it more real time.
I'm not sure whether I like that in that
I've
game.
Spoken to two people who've played both, one of which likes it, and I'm one of them. That came out not quite the way I wanted to. Me and our friend Kevin both, as I understand it, like Dragon Age 2. But we are in the minority from people who actually like Dragon Age 2. I've been playing a little bit of Dead or Alive 5 again, just to kill some time in between games of League of Legends, because, again, League.
Well, yeah, he's actually been playing with me and Kevin a lot, and we got Jason and Cody, and we're a five-man last night, and we went 2-0.
Wow.
Yeah,
wait, with Cody on your team?
Lag helped us one game. The enemy team dropped.
And then the other game was a gift from matchmaking. I had an enemy jungler who I first blooded because he tried to fight me as the king of the jungle.
I was 11-0-6. They surrendered at 22 minutes.
Wow.
Zach was 6-0-4.
Our bottom lane fed 75% of our team's deaths with 3.
Yeah, at one point I killed the enemy AD carry and it was like shut down. I'm like, Twitch was on a killing spree? I didn't know they had any kills.
My favorite part of the whole game, Jeremy had a 3-man attack in mid lane.
Three people attacked me.
Killed 2 of them. Got away with 5 HP as me and Kevin came down from bottom lane and cleaned up.
I feel like you shouldn't have even been able to survive that.
Well,
he was so fed, he threw a spell at their jungler, and he died.
I accidentally killed their jungler. I was just trying to stun him to get away, and he died.
That is how far ahead we were. Like, this was... I don't want to sound really mean to these guys, but I've had harder bot games than this was.
Yeah, they were pretty outclassed. Matchmaking was like, here you guys go. Because Jason is level, I want to say...
He's level 11.
He can't flash yet. Cody's level 28. So they gave us a whole bunch of level people level 26 to 28, which is not fair against 3 level 30s who know what they're doing.
3 level 30s, 2 of which are playing OP
chance. And who are talking via voice comms and coordinating.
That really helps.
Yeah, so like when I was coming towards their mid lane or top lane, I'm like, okay, I'm coming this direction. If you can get them a little bit farther out from the tower, I can help you. And my teammates, knowing what they're doing, get them a little farther away, and they're like, ha, I can totally solo out this guy. And here comes the jungle bug from the bushes right on top of you.
Can you imagine playing like Payday without voice communication?
Payday would be a lot simpler to do without voice communication because the level of coordination for Payday isn't necessarily on the same level as to perform the same kind of communication-oriented things that you do in League.
That is true.
Like,
I suppose that's accurate.
How many times are we playing Payday and we're actually spending the entire game specifically talking about Payday?
Well, once it goes loud, then you don't need to coordinate, so...
Well, that's kind of my point, is League...
And that's when you need to coordinate the most in League.
Yeah, we never are just having a chat about anything else when playing League on voice comms, because we have to coordinate everything in the game. Which zeroes me in on the game, which is why I get a little bit more ragey than I should.
Yeah,
you're
pretty whiny in voice chat, but whatever.
I focus too much on it, and when I'm performing poorly and I have a teammate that's performing poorly, I'm too zeroed in, which I normally have other stuff going on at the same time, but with voice comms, I have all that stuff muted so you guys don't listen to it.
And I was trying to listen to Summoning Insight while we played, and I could not parse a podcast and also our voice comms, so I had to stop.
I have a hard time actively listening to two things at once if they, one of those things is not music.
Yeah, it is pretty difficult.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, me and Kevin had a couple of games where we did really well in the AD carry support synergy type of thing, and it's just a lot of fun to play with friends in general. Like, I would love to play a couple of games with you on the voice comms, Tyler, just because everybody else I know plays the game, really.
I've considered trying to recruit you for a few nights, but I always imagine you are probably busy, or I'm only going to have time for one game anyway, and it seems by the time you'd updated the client.
You should at the very least update the client.
Yeah, so
probably.
So it can be like, come, we'll play Anime Rumble.
Yeah, since it's Gurren Lagann Rumble.
Yeah.
And, you know, just that way we can get the whole group together to play a game because Jeremy can't play Payday.
Oh, man, I completely forgot about this. They updated the Attack on Titan game again, and I joined a public server to go take back the outside of the walls, which is notoriously, the humans have a notoriously low success rate at doing this. Like, this has become such a part of my daily routine, I forget that I even played this game every day. So we were going and taking back the outside of the walls. I encountered a rare glitch where I hit the side of a house while riding a horse at full speed. It sent me rocketing up into the sky, which was fantastic. I'm like, well, might as well make use of this, and dropped my horse. And it just like
glitch.
And it just like the horse went flying off into the distance. I'm like, well, man, I'm still going really high. Eventually, I came back down. I hit like the skybox. Maximum height in this game is really high for some reason. I don't know what, like, you're never going to go that high, so I don't, anyway. So I started falling back down.
Big rigs.
My entire team had caught up to where I was, and there were, like, a bunch of, like, everyone was killing each other, and they're, like, Titans smashing humans, and humans, like, flying circles around Titans. I'm just, like, falling. I'm like, I'll be there in, like, 7-10 seconds. I'm like, okay, get ready, and a human player playing as a crawler comes in at the exact right moment. I'm just like, huh, this can't possibly work. Oh, well, click. I did 3,000 damage to him just by landing on him.
Physics!
It was so good.
Terminal velocity is a thing, Tyler.
Yeah, it's just like Rita Repulsa, when she breaks the moon's escape velocity, doesn't have to throw the wand that hard to get it to Earth.
But, you know, that's kind of what I've been doing. A lot of League and some other stuff. Like, normal, you know? Jeremy, what have you been playing?
A lot of League, like I just talked about. Hearthstone, I only have one wing of the solo adventure left, which I should be done with next week, I think. Depends on how quickly I gain gold.
One wing?
Yeah, it's divided into wings, which is, you can pay for the whole thing for $20, or $7 for a wing, or 700 in-game gold for a wing.
Is it like a physical building, or?
No, well, it's based on the Naxxramas raid from World of Warcraft.
Okay.
Which is a physical building and has wings.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
It flies very high.
Yeah. Actually, it does.
Does it really?
Yeah.
I've never like actually seen Naxxramas. So.
It used to be floating over the Plague Lands. They moved it to Northrend when Wrath of the Lich King came out.
Ah. Yeah, I never actually went on any raid in World of Warcraft.
So yeah, that's pretty fun. That the second to last wing actually had some kind of hard guys.
Ooh.
One switches the attack and health of every minion every turn, which is interesting.
I can see that wreaking havoc.
It's not as hard as the hard mode guy who returns two random enemy minions to your hand every turn.
Oof.
Yeah, that's rough.
Did you beat him?
Awful.
I haven't beat him on hard mode. There are no rewards for hard mode, so I haven't really
bothered
started that yet. I probably will. The problem with him in particular is there is a clear strategy to beating him that requires a card I don't have. But even I immediately said, oh, Alexstrasza would destroy this game.
Why?
Whenever she comes into play, you set character's health to 15, so you can set the enemy to 15 and then just kill him, or yourself to 15 and never die because it's really hard for him to do more than 15 damage in a turn, as long as you have decent clear of enemy minions.
Ah.
But the problem is he keeps returning your minions and...
Yeah. Well, he also has 75 health, which
Ooh.
You start with 30.
Ugh. Okay, yeah, I can see why setting his to 15 would be a...
boon.
Yeah. I was going to say I beat FTL on normal for the first time ever.
Lies and slander. Also, when I have not had internet and haven't been able to play Hearthstone, I've been playing Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds, which is the 2009 Yu-Gi-Oh! Game.
For what system, out of curiosity?
The DS.
Okay.
That's pretty good. I have a Sweet Dark Magician deck.
Is 5Ds the one on motorcycles?
Yes.
Okay.
This is one of like three or four on motorcycles. Let's see. The actual title is 5D Stardust Accelerator World Championship 2009.
What is a Stardust Accelerator? Is that like a Nimbus 2000?
Yes.
Didn't you have a Yu-Gi-Oh game that was on all the dice stuff at one point?
Yeah, the Dungeon Dice Monsters one?
Yeah.
It's for the GBA. I still have that somewhere. It was pretty okay.
So it just popped in my head. I'm like,
I kind of want to buy some Yu-Gi-Oh clicks.
What?
Yu-Gi-Oh clicks is a thing also. There, you got one set out and they're previewing the next set.
Are they the characters from Yu-Gi-Oh or the monsters? Okay, that makes more sense.
Okay, that's not quite as bad. I was thinking like you had Yu-Gi-Moto and Joey, Kaiba. Whatever his last name is.
I would also
is.
Love that. But no, I want to have my Blue Eyes White Dragons fight Superman. That's something I'm into.
I want Seto Kaiba to fight Superman.
Seto Kaiba have a lot of money.
Yeah, pretty much.
Come on, Mokuba. Let's go build Kaiba Land, even though Kaiba Land appeared in episode 1. Continuity!
Kaiba Land.
Yeah, it's a theme park around Duel Monsters. It's got Blue Eyes White Dragons everywhere. Also, he's a Blue Eyes White Dragon jet.
Yeah, I remember that.
It first appears like, in the US, it first appeared in the movie, which was kind of lame because its actual first appearance is he blows up Duel Island where the Duel City Finals takes place and it like comes out of the explosion in the Blue Eyes White Dragon jet. And that's its first appearance. And it like deploys from the blimp, like the bat pod from the Batmobile. It's amazing. If I had that much money, that's why Seto Kaiba is the best. He knows what to spend his money on. His money does buy happiness.
In the form of dragons.
Yes.
I'm kind of surprised like his office didn't have a Blue Eyes in it anywhere.
I think that's where he does business, like with old Japanese businessmen, so they don't like dragons as much.
I don't see why not. I mean, if I was an old Japanese businessman.
Also playing this, I for the first time realized Manga Ryuran who is the toon version of Ryuran, and I never figured out why he wasn't Toon Ryuran. It means like manga, like Japanese comics, and I felt stupid. Like when I first noticed, oh, Usagi's hair is like a bunny rabbit. Oh.
Hence the name.
And felt stupid. Yep.
Who?
Usagi. She's Sailor Moon.
Oh. She is the one called Meatball Head.
Nice catch. I think sorry, I haven't actually told that story on the podcast, but we still use it as a joke.
You shifted.
I did.
On me. I was thinking that I was still talking about Yu-Gi-Oh stuff. I'm like, what?
No, he was describing a similar experience. Yeah. Realizing that guy's name means that he's cartoon him.
Well, but all the other ones are just Toon Blue Eyes White Dragon and Toon Dark Magician Girl. It still doesn't make sense to me that it's Manga Ryuran. But I like never clicked until I was like, oh, manga. Yeah.
Duh.
That's a thing.
It is.
Man. Oh, well, I was going to say I'm not reading any manga right now. And
That's a lie.
That's a lie. I'm reading Attack on Titan. It just only publishes once a month.
I'm reading Naruto, but I told that story before the podcast. Guys, Naruto might almost be over, maybe. Who knows?
Finally. Although I thought that a long time ago. Yeah, so
did I. But it really seems like, after Naruto and Sasuke fight again, what could happen?
That's a good question.
So they find out there's a 20 tails.
I was going to say aliens. Aliens.
Yeah.
You got to do it right. Yeah, thank you. Aliens.
The Saiyans are coming and they have to I would continue to read that.
What do they go to the spirit world to rescue Orihime?
They already
Who the
want
heck are
dimensions.
You?
And also the afterlife in Naruto is weird.
What? It exists in
There's like this waiting area where you can go, like,
number 145.
Obito
Soul
went there
145.
For a while and like gave Kakashi his Sharingans.
Oh, is that how that happened?
Yeah. And then Kakashi was there when he died and got brought back. And yeah.
You know, if they have a spiritual waiting room, you'd think the music would probably be a bit better.
I mean, it was all darkness as far as I could tell.
I'm picturing,
I was
like a doctor's office waiting room just with all like the benches and the crappy
like
magazines.
King Yemma. Like from Dragon Ball or the similar character from Yu Yu Hakusho.
I was imagining just like, wasn't that the similar character in Yu Yu Hakusho also a baby?
No, his dad was very much similar to King Yama.
Oh.
Like he just had his kid running things because he needed to learn responsibility or something. Also, his dad was a douchebag.
Also that, yeah. There are lots of people who are douchebags in that show.
Yeah, but he was intentionally sending demons to the human world so they would think that God was a cool guy. For protecting them and agitating demons so they would attack humans so he could protect them.
Well, you can't say it didn't work.
Yeah, but then Yusuke punched a bunch of demons in the face and fixed everything.
Turns out that was his plan all along. Although, wasn't that actually his plan, though?
Yusuke's?
No, I mean, the spirit guys.
Yeah, well, his sons.
Oh.
Because he was like, yeah, this isn't cool. It's a lot more work for one thing.
So here, you go punch a bunch of demons in the face and that'll fix it.
Eventually. I mean, you're probably going to die first. Also, your grandmother figure is probably going to die.
Yusuke Urameshi's demon punching service.
Rivals with Kuwabara Kuwahara's demon stabbing service.
Is that actually Kuwabara's last name?
Yeah.
I guess that would be his... Is Kuwabara his last name or his first name?
I believe
name?
It's his first name. Although...
Because whenever they're translated, they tend to flip them around.
He has a sister who I don't think's last name is Kuwabara.
These are the questions inquiring minds.
I haven't watched Yu Yu Hakusho in a while. Yeah, I considered rewatching it, but...
You know, the urge has never struck me. I've never wanted to rewatch Dragon Ball Z either.
I went through Dragon Ball Kai. I mean, it was cool for a while, but Frieza took forever, even in Kai.
Man, I feel like we've been on Namek forever. But it's only been 3 days. Isn't that weird?
Bulma, don't do or say anything while we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. Although Goku landed on the Ginyus.
That was a convenient way to take care of them.
Oh, but he's injured.
I think the first episode of DBZ Abridged Kai was probably better than the second. But
the second was still good.
It was so good. I haven't actually checked to see if they've updated for a while.
Not since the drinking of the arm.
Oh. They're drinking your arm. I know.
What? It's Cell.
Oh. Cell stabs his tail into Piccolo's arm and starts like draining it, and I think it's Nail.
Yeah,
his
Nail's
head.
Like, he's drinking your arm. I know. clearly, I can't beat you, but tell me everything about you. Wow. Okay. Who's that? Sorry, already told it once.
I still think my the only things like I've seen out of that, one of the favorite ones was, you're about to get a new roommate. Well, I have to move the pool table. I have a... Wait. I don't have a pool. Clack. What are you talking about?
Kami and Nail are so good in that series. Piccolo is so good, to be honest. I'll be sad in the Boo saga where he's irrelevant.
Although there's that one, like, segment where he gets absorbed by Boo.
Yeah, and he also, like, trains Gotenks. So that's cool. But he spends a lot of it as a statue, and then a lot of it eaten by Boo.
And then Mr. Gohan will be there to not do anything.
Yeah. Me and my brother had a fight about how many people Goku kills in Dragon Ball Z. Want to take a guess?
Wait, kills?
Kills. There are a bunch in Dragon Ball, it turns out. But in Dragon Ball Z.
Him actively.
Yes.
I feel like it's an incredibly small number.
I'm going to go with one.
Nah.
Higher.
No, I'll say like five.
Lower. It's two.
Two?
Who Kid Boo at the end with the spirit bomb.
Okay.
And Yakon.
Yakon?
What? You remember the part when Supreme Kai's like, we have to go stop this dude before he resurrects Majin Buu. And Majin Buu's like, I have an evil spaceship through him full of dudes. And Vegeta's like, you're a noob, dude. Yakon is the guy who Goku's like, you're a noob, dude.
Oh.
And kills.
Okay.
I thought he only aced Frieza.
No, he doesn't kill Frieza.
If Frieza killed himself.
Well, no. Trunks actually kills Frieza.
Oh, that's right. I thought he
died on Namek and then resurrected, and they managed to resurrect him.
He was still alive. Just a very, like, a quarter of his brain was left, and things can survive in that universe with ridiculously small parts of their bodies somehow.
Well, specifically, he is very durable, but yeah.
That is true. Trunks does kill Frieza.
But it turns out in Dragon Ball, he is killing dudes left and right.
Yeah,
mostly
no,
he kills most of the Red Ribbon Army.
Well, I remember one episode where he's just, like, going through beating people's skulls in with a stick.
And he kills Piccolo, Drum, and Trombone.
Oh, Dragon Ball. Pilaf and...
He doesn't kill Pilaf.
Doesn't he?
No, because Pilaf is around in GT to be a minor nuisance.
See?
And in Dragon Ball Z Battle of the Gods.
Maybe I'm
GT is not canon.
Yeah, but Dragon Ball
exist.
Z Battle of the Gods is.
Does it kill Garlic, or is Garlic already dead by the time Garlic Jr. comes
He's not
around.
No, Garlic is pre-Dragon Ball.
Okay, that's
Kami
what I thought.
Defeated Garlic.
Oh, God, the names.
Oh, that one episode. Oh,
I told you Android 17 and 18's names are revealed, didn't I?
Yeah. And everyone's like, okay.
They're Lapis and Lazuli.
Oh, God.
No one cared. I should watch a really good, I highly recommend this guy. His, I think, Satchel is what he calls himself. That's actually
that
also
familiar.
His name. He introduces himself in his videos as Satchel Like a Bag. He did a really good piece on the transition from Chrono Trigger to Chrono Cross. and why everyone hated Chrono Cross and why they shouldn't have hated Chrono Cross.
I mean, Chrono Cross isn't bad. It's not Chrono Trigger, though, which is a sin.
Well, I think that's why everyone thought, like, everyone was expecting a sequel to Chrono Trigger and no one really got it. But I went and played Chrono Cross after having played a ton of other JRPGs. I'm like, this is nothing new or interesting. I didn't realize that Chrono Cross is the thing that started all the tropes for all the other JRPGs that went after it. Like, I don't know.
Being terrible?
Yes. No, Chrono Cross is actually a fairly good game, although it does have 45 characters.
It's like three too many.
It only does character development for the two main characters, but how you interact with all your other characters determines how the plot progresses. It's interesting. Also, parallel worlds! Also, your parallel version of yourself is an anthropomorphic lynx?
Of course. Don't you know anything about alternate dimension science?
I do, and you know what happens in alternate dimensions? You save Daisy instead of Peach.
Actually, it's the same dimension. It's just a different kingdom. Played Super Mario Land this week for the Game Boy. It's like Mario, but more black and white and less complex. The story of Super Mario Land is aliens invaded Saru Land.
Seriously?
Yes.
I'm Saruman of Saru Land.
Well, there are dinosaurs there. That's why it's Saru Land.
I didn't see any dinosaurs.
Just because they were stopped by the evil... I can't remember the guy's name. It starts with a T. But he's an alien he invaded. He sent his troops to guard everything and kidnapped the Princess Daisy. And Mario's like, well, I rescued Peach. Maybe I should so save this Daisy chick, too. I mean, Pauline, it didn't work with her. What if Peach lets me down? I need a backup plan. You watch Game Theories, right, Zach?
Yeah.
Have you seen the recent one where
Rosalina is...
Well, he specifically posits that Rosalina is Peach and Luigi's daughter.
Yes.
But what?
He ends
using
with
genetics.
Yeah, he ends with positing
Rosalina
that.
Has an incredibly high chance of being Peach's daughter genetically.
He
uses a bunch of genetics. They're both left-handed. The earlobes. He just does a whole bunch of genetic stuff.
But Rosalina's like a space goddess.
He explains that.
It basically has to do with time dilation.
Okay.
How every 100 years she comes back, and he did, like, going at the speed of light, that would be every 1 year.
Yeah, that's about accurate.
And he has a very high chance of being Peach's daughter, and a fairly high chance of being Mario's daughter, but a higher chance of being Luigi's daughter.
Because
and
he's shown to be, like, left-handed and
Yeah,
and stuff.
If you beat the game as Luigi, after beating as Mario, you get a picture of Luigi and Rosalina together, like... where you don't get one when you beat it with Mario.
Well, Mario's a sociopath, so
yeah.
It does make a certain amount of sense.
Luigi, on the other hand, is like the only upstanding citizen of the entire Mushroom Kingdom.
I feel like some of the Toads are
probably
pretty upstanding.
Toadsworth isn't a bad guy.
Which one?
No, Toadsworth.
Yeah, Toadsworth is a specific character. He's like her majordomo.
That's an accurate description.
So anyway, you have to go save Daisy by going through black and white worlds. I mean, it's Mario, pretty much, but black and white, which actually does take away. Like
it does.
Those... few colors really help you tell where enemies are.
I was going to say, unlike a Mario game, this game feels really, like, the controls don't feel good at all, and I'm not sure what it, like, the instant, there's no getting up to speed while running.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
Is there?
Yeah.
I have to say, the first two levels were pathetically easy, and I can say that because I didn't actually take any damage on either boss.
That's impressive.
I didn't take a single hit.
You mean worlds, not just levels?
Yeah, but both the first two worlds were pathetically easy. I think I died once or twice on the
whole
thing.
They are
pretty easy, I agree.
I died to the first boss once because instead of jumping over him, I decided to try to run under him, and that was the wrong choice.
Yeah,
I just blew him up with fireballs.
I didn't have fireballs.
But before that boss, there's a place where there's like one of the Sphinx-type enemies. It'll shoot fireballs at you, and that got me once. Because I jumped into the fireball, which
it never actually got me.
No, I agree. The levels are pretty easy. And then there's a big difficulty spike around World 3.
That's where I game over.
Also, you get a submarine in World 2.
It's only four worlds, so it makes sense for there to be suddenly difficulty when you're halfway through the game.
Now, a big problem I had with this game is that I didn't feel like, oh no, I like fell off of stuff when just walking sometimes.
Yeah, the controls feel really awkward, and the hitboxes feel a lot worse than normal Mario. And I think Zach complained about this once, but I've never played a Mario game where I was like, I jumped on that guy and I got hurt, unless it was obviously a guy with spikes on him. Whereas there were times in this game where I felt like I landed on dudes, but I was the one who took damage.
I had one where I landed on a dude, and I took damage, and he took damage. We both damaged each other. That shouldn't happen.
The one that threw me off was that the Koopa shells you cannot kick, probably because the Game Boy wouldn't be able to handle it. Would be my guess.
They exploded.
They explode. That was where I took my first hit. Was I got hit by a Koopa exploding, which I originally, due to various other reasons, thought I had two additional hits before being reduced to Mini Mario. So I thought the Koopa shell did two hits to me.
I'm not even sure if they're Koopas. They certainly look like
they're
Koopas.
They're called Bomb Koopas, and the Goombas have a different name too.
Ah.
They're like Gumbas or something like that. There are also lots of weird enemies for not too weird. They're not Mario too weird, but
they're kind of like, themed.
They're like these hornets who throw spears down at you.
Those are actually Mario too.
Oh, okay.
I didn't bother to kill them. I just dodged Red the spears.
And I can't think of any other enemies. I know there's like spiders, which are the worst.
There are these like Easter Island head guys that come running at you.
Oh yeah,
just like swinging their arms around.
And then like flying like
totem
jumping
poles.
Totem poles.
Oh yeah, like the things that detach their heads and
yeah, those
skeletal fish.
The skeletal fish, jellyfish, fire breathing seahorses.
I just assumed they were cedros. So
of course.
And then the Sphinx, as Jeremy alluded to earlier.
Oh yeah,
I think there's one special enemy per zone.
But to combat them, you get super balls.
Yeah, instead of fireballs in this game, you have super balls. The official reason is because the Game Boy could only render one projectile at a time.
I feel like you could just limit it to one fireball, though.
Yeah, but they decided to change it. The difference is super balls bounce a lot more, whereas fireballs bounce along forward in a trajectory. Super balls tend to bounce like super balls all over the place.
They are not affected by gravity.
Also, they can collect coins for you if they hit coins.
Which is kind of useful.
My biggest problem with them is you can only have one on screen. And because they bounce
stuck
all the way, and since B is the button to run, like a lot of times I would have just awkward super balls. Also, it seems to me like there are a lot more enemies in this game that take multiple super balls than there are in any other game that take multiple fireballs. I feel like everything in Mario either dies to one fireball or you can shoot them as many times and they'll never die, with the exception of bosses.
I definitely had a problem where I was like in kind of a confined area and pressed B to start running, fired the ball, then immediately got up to an enemy that I couldn't jump on because the area was too confined, but I also couldn't hit him with a super ball because the ball was still on screen bouncing around endlessly. So I just had to sit there and take the hit eventually.
So basically, I think super balls are a cool idea, but I completely understand why they've never appeared since.
Well,
although in 3D, they would be
Tyler alluded
much more
to
useful.
It, in a modern Mario game, they would actually probably be a kind of cool power-up to get because they could just ping pong and do all sorts of fun stuff all over the map. And since we have the technology to render them better,
you could have like three or four of them.
You could have more of them on screen.
I feel like Galaxy, there are a couple rooms in that probably would have benefited from it. Or the new Super Mario World 3, I don't know, the new one for the Wii U. There are definitely a lot of situations which a ball that bounced like that would have been a pretty useful power-up. But...
Or at least cool. But then we could see Bouncy Ball Peach.
Also, oh, what if you became the ball?
Well, I feel they had Spring Mario in Galaxy 2, right? Or is that just Galaxy?
No, it's in Galaxy 2. I never really played Galaxy. I own it, and I went to go play it, and it just wasn't as good as Galaxy 2, so...
See, I feel the opposite, but...
Maybe it's a...
And I will split the difference and say I don't care which one's better.
So anyway, you're trying to save Daisy. There are only three levels per world in this, and at the end of each one, there's a unique boss. The first one is a Sphinx who is exactly Bowser. He jumps up and down and shoots fireballs. And you have to get past him and get the key, or just
fireball
him
to death.
The way I like to think it is that the evil general guy actually rigged all of his minions with explosives so that if they failed them, he could kill them. But he also just put a switch near them so that he didn't have to like go back home to get the remote in case
so
he forgot it.
Remember that he could always...
Oh, is that the is that what the switch is actually supposed to do? Is kill the boss?
No. If you get to the switch, it will destroy the boss. So
well, in the original Mario, instead of a switch, there's an axe.
And
you
cuts the
cut the bridge, and then Bowser falls into the lava beneath.
Yeah.
So it's basically mimicking that, but the Game Boy apparently couldn't simulate a bridge going out and an enemy falling into lava.
Or they decided not to because, ugh, work.
Also, when you would fireball Bowser to death, except for on level 8, he would turn into a different enemy. The first one was a Goomba, and then he would die. The second one was a Koopa, to like imply that that was not actually Bowser, but one of his minions disguised. So then, this game sort of takes that idea because instead of getting Toad and being like, sorry, Mario, princess, another castle. Man, I'm so high.
dude, you got any weed?
Mushrooms, man. Instead of that, You see Daisy,
and then she goes, thank you, Mario.
Oh, Daisy.
Oh, Daisy.
And then,
And then she turns into one of the enemies and bounces around. And
specifically, I think the special, more like the main special enemies of that.
They're all unique enemies for the world.
It's O-H, exclamation point, Daisy, no punctuation.
Oh, Daisy.
And it is a abysmally slow text crawl that you can't skip.
Yeah, and then, oh, Daisy.
Daisy.
That's an expletive Mario. And she's unfortunately named. So anyway, yeah, oh, Daisy.
It's hilarious.
So one of the things I actually, probably the only thing I really like about this game is the one underwater level. You're in a submarine.
I don't think that's ever been said about a Mario game before.
I know. I was actually commenting on that while playing it. I'm like, this is the first underwater level I actively enjoy.
I kind of liked it, yeah.
The submarine is controls, I guess, sort of how you spec. You can go up, down, forward, backward, and you shoot torpedoes. You fight a boss as the submarine, and he's guarding his door well enough that it's actually usually easier to torpedo him.
Because you're granted it?
Yeah.
You know,
he's got a protective ball, but...
It took me a couple of minutes to figure out how to actually get to the way out of the level, because I'm like...
After you beat him?
Yeah, because I'm like, he's dead. Where am I supposed to go? And then I saw that there was a little destructible terrain at the bottom, and I went, oh.
I had real trouble, especially at first, telling the difference between destructible terrain and regular terrain.
Yeah.
Not so much in the sub, but as Mario even.
Yeah, it's not super well telegraphed.
My problem with liking the sub level in Mario is that really at that point, I'm basically just playing Gradius. Okay. So
you're playing terrible Gradius.
Well, and then you guys didn't get to the last level, but the final level 4-3 is a plane level that controls exactly the same.
Is it better or worse than the sub or just...
No, it's exactly the same.
Okay.
It's just the enemies are different. There are these birds who like fly past you and shoot bullets back at you.
What are the bosses of Worlds 3 and 4, since I don't think me and Tyler got to them?
So, World 3, there's these, the 3-3, there's these parts where there are these boulders that you have to jump on because they're over spike pits and
is
they
that
roll.
3-3? I thought that started in 3-1.
They started 3-2, I think, actually.
Okay. No, 3-2 is a cave.
No, you're right. They started 3-1. 3-2 is the dumb spiders.
Yeah, that's where I actually bowed out.
Actually, I think 3-3 is the spiders.
Either way, wherever the spiders are is where I bowed out.
Me too.
Well, anyway, he throws rocks at you over a spike pit. You just have to jump on the rocks and then jump over him and get the key. He explodes for no reason.
No, C4.
What is he?
He's one of the Easter Island guys.
Oh,
with
okay.
Bigger arms for boulder throwing.
Ah, okay. That's what he says. Boulder throwing.
Yeah.
It's lonely there. We know.
He's a giant head with arms.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Yes.
And then O'Daisy is a spider.
Okay.
And then the fourth world has two bosses. One is a cloud. I can't even remember what his attacks are. I think he shoots lightning.
I'm horrified. It's a cloud.
And then is the alien. He's very similar to the seahorse, actually, except for he shoots like a big fireball that splits into three small fireballs, and you can't. Your projectiles can't pass through his, so you have to get through the gaps
that
and
does
dodge
sound
the fireballs.
I am really glad I haven't ever met Cloud in the Dark Alley. That sword alone just...
Although
he only gets one shot.
One thing that isn't so bad is the checkpoints in this game are really generous. It's really easy to fail forward, too.
Which is odd. I don't think I can't remember ever having played a game where I get the checkpoint in front of me.
The problem that I had a couple times was I thought I'd been sent way far back because the levels get really repetitive and
I was actually going to talk about this. I noticed because if you go into like the bonus areas, there are still bonus areas down pipes in this game because of course.
Oh, I couldn't find any. I was going to say the pipes seemed pointless to me because I never found any. Like I was going on pipes
there's
and hitting
a bunch.
Down. Okay. I'm just bad.
But what they'll do is they'll usually send you forward, but I thought they were sending me backwards because the pipe that you come back out of is in the exact same terrain as the pipe you went down. They actually, every single level, the terrain is repeated.
Yeah.
It's hard to notice, though, because they put different enemies in different... Like, you have different interactable objects everywhere, but the actual terrain is just repeated 4 times in every single level. And I didn't notice this until I got to, like, the 3rd level and got up the pipe again. I'm like, God damn it, this is the... Like, 6 times
I just
time
went
now.
Backwards.
Yeah, and, like,
even
this is...
Even though you can't go backwards like the original Mario, it won't let you.
No, but, like, sometimes the pipes would put you behind, I thought.
Well, no, regardless. It looks like they put you behind because the terrain is exactly the same. I mean, I realize the Game
level
Boy...
Level design is kind of lazy in this game, it feels like.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
I do wonder if that's space or level design.
I think it's a combination of both. Really, the Game Boy had more memory than...
But
I
this
think
is right. A Game Boy launch title.
That is true. It might have been a time crunch.
You compare this to Pokemon and Jesus Christ, how did Pokemon? Or A Link to the Past?
How did even Pokemon?
Yeah.
But
it's amazing how few glitches there are in Pokemon. It's amazing.
That is true,
when you compare it to this.
Or any
Tetris.
Other game.
Sometimes I had trouble when I would jump.
I would like, he'd jump forward. I'm like, oh, I can't actually go that way, and try and guide myself back to wherever it was I was going, and I'd just freeze and fall straight down.
Yeah, well, I never really froze, but the air control you have over Mario, while still there, does seem a lot less to me.
Well, sometimes it just didn't exist. I couldn't control where I was going.
My biggest problem is, like, you had those moving platforms over death pits.
Yeah.
Occasionally, I would, like, get ready to go jump onto a platform, and I was, like,
drop.
Yeah, I was kind of on the edge already, yeah, and I would just drop.
Yeah, I saw some of that.
And I think the last part that I can think of that is, I think is important is the bonus game. If you can get to the top door.
Yeah, I was going to talk to that. You know how in other Mario games, if you get to the flag, top of the flag, you get a 1-up? This game has done away with the flag, but created a 2-exit system, and a higher system creates a minigame for you to play.
Where basically you have a ladder and Mario randomly moving around a board. And
that contains a fire flower, a 1-up, a 2-up, and a 3-up.
A Super Ball flower, thank you.
Whatever. The first time I did it, I got the 3. I didn't get the 3 again.
I got pretty good at timing it.
I got 3 the first time, and it took me like 5 times to figure out how the game worked. But eventually I did, and I could pretty easily get what I wanted after that.
The way it works is whenever you press the magic button, which I think is A.
Yeah, it's A.
Mario and the ladder will stop, and if the ladder is somewhere where Mario can reach it, you will take the ladder.
So he'll go down if it's underneath him. He'll go up if it's above him. So you can actually have it where he ends up on the one you want, which is the 3-up, let's be honest.
Sometimes you want the super
flowers. He'll go over and then go down into whatever one it was also
associated
with.
So you have to watch the ladder and Mario.
But I got to the point where I could intentionally choose the 3-up every time.
So. But actually, I kind of like that bonus game. I kind of like it as an adaptation of the getting on top of the flag.
Although, I do really like Super Mario World's take on that, where if every 100 points you get from breaking the ticker tape, you get like a 3-way slot machine.
Oh yeah, yeah, I remember that now. It's been a while since I played Super Mario World. Man.
I will say, if they had done away and just gone with the flag for the sake of creating more interesting environments, I would have rather them put the flag in there rather than having this bonus game.
I agree, but I don't think that's a real trade-off that happens.
Yeah.
Like, this bonus game is incredibly simple.
I really think it's just a combination of the Game Boy being a new platform for them to have developed on. I don't know, this didn't feel like a Mario game to me, really. It felt like a game with wearing a Mario skin around
it felt like
a
Mario
killer.
Fan game. Like someone who liked Mario and knew how it worked, but didn't have the literary understanding.
Yeah.
Who didn't understand why Sailor Moon had sonic tears. Just that she did. Didn't understand that Sailor Moon turning into whatever she wants is a metaphor for thinking about what grown-ups are like, and that she does it less as she becomes more comfortable with herself.
That is pretty apt. I don't know. I feel like I played Mario clones on the internet that are better than this.
Like Mario?
Yes. There's actually a really good one that's a 2D Mario 64.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
With also the flood for some reason. It's really good,
the
though.
The flood sucks, though.
It's Mario's down B.
Yeah, I know. I hear Super Mario Land 2 is a huge improvement. And since we have to play that eventually, hopefully it is.
Does it involve aliens still?
It involves 6 golden coins. The plot is that while you were saving Daisy, someone took over the Mushroom Kingdom and stole all your money. I think it's Wario. I think it's the introduction of Wario. Because then I know Mario Land 3 is the first game where Wario is playable.
Mario! Waluigi! Waluigi!
There we go.
Waluigi was invented for Mario Tennis.
Really?
Which is a really good game.
Is that the first game he's in?
Yeah.
I remember seeing the intro to that, and both Wario and Waluigi are like looking at the bulletin board announcing the game, and they're both like, Mario, Waluigi, like some sort of retarded Pokemon.
So even though this is only $4 on the DS Virtual Console, I don't really think I recommend it.
There are better things you could spend $4 on, like a hot dog.
You can spend another $1 for Super Mario Bros.
Oh, yeah, that's a much better game.
So, yeah.
And I think you could spend, like, what? Isn't it also just another $1 for Super Mario 3?
I don't think that's on the 3DS.
Oh, 3DS.
It's another $1 for Lost Levels, but...
I mean, you could spend another $5 and get Metroid Fusion, so do that.
Most assuredly a skip.
Yeah.
Unless you really like Mario and want to see what his first Game Boy was like.
It's not very good, so...
We'll save you the trouble. It stinks.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's better than Legend of Kage, so...
That's not a high bar to jump. You took a wooden dowel, laid it on the floor, and said, okay, jump it.
And thankfully, this Mario skin-wearing creature can jump pretty high.
Didn't dig underneath
Mario!
It.
Oh, Mario!
All right, so since we're handing the reins over to you for Game Boy Month, what are we playing next
week? It's Mobile Month.
Yeah.
Time to go mobile.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That also alliterates.
It does.
It does, and also there's a Game Gear game eventually, so.
Spoilers! I have to edit that out now.
You already announced it on the last podcast.
Yeah, you did.
I can edit it out there, too. Well, since Mega Man was the first game we played for this, and I love Mega Man X, we're going to play Mega Man for Game Boy.
It's like Mega Man.
Yeah, my understanding is like sort of a port, but we'll see.
It's like just four of the bosses from the first one with different levels.
Yeah. So it's only on the 3DS. It's the black and white one. So if there are colors, you've gone too far.
This is going to be fun.
Next time and last time, Mega Man again. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2014.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein are copyright of their respective owners.
Unfortunately, I don't own Square Enix. You can contact us at ltovg at lasttimeonvideogames.com, or Tyler at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
or Jeremy, G-E-R-E-M-Y, at lasttimeonvideogames.com,
and the best one, Zach at lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Our primary source of interaction is lasttimeonvideogames.com, where you can find all sorts of written material in addition to the podcast.
If you want to follow us on Google+, plus.google.com/plus/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you're one of those weird people who uses Twitter, we are at LTOVG.
Quick, press X. Too late. You failed. The podcast is over.